Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
One, two, here I go.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
Well, hello, hello, everyone. And welcome to the Heart Month, and we're on Mind, Body, and Soul Food with your host, Tanya Parker, also known as the Throat Chakra Shaman. I'm here to dish up some deliciously delectable consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. I would like to give a big thank you to the amazing Gay Adegbolola, who brought us in with her Hungry Woman Blues. And you know, here on the show, we have the cure for that. We're on second Sundays at 6 p.m. We serve up a big dish on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. Now, let me share with you a little bit about myself. Spirit has called me to work within my practice and ministry, Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, to facilitate restoration of balance to mind, body, and spirit through divinely inspired holistic healing and education services. And my healing and teaching table has served up a lot of different offerings, one of which is Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which provides an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. I would really like to thank all of you listeners who support and sustain this show. We have well over 34,000 listens to date, and we continue to grow, and that's pretty exciting for me. And I would like to thank all of those who tuned in last month to hear sensational sisters Alexis and Chelsea Logan share insights and messages from the Akashic Records. They truly wowed us, and they have promised that they will come back, so definitely we will get them back on the show. If you miss them, you can check them out on demand here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, tonight we're going to get full on a big serving of joy. Now, isn't that what we desire to have in life after all? And as we approach Valentine's Day in this Heart Month, choosing to live joyfully is one of the most heart-based, loving things that we can do for ourselves and others. And tonight's guest will serve as our master chef as he serves up insights from his new book, The Art of Living Joyfully. So I'd like to extend a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to humorist and best-selling author, Alan Klein. Hello, Alan.
Hello. I'm in the kitchen cooking up more joy right here.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I have to tell you, you've given me so many giggles already. There are moments in your book that make me laugh, and I've seen one of your promo pictures, and I used it too, with the big clown nose on, and you call yourself a jollytologist. Now, I make up words, but that one is a new one on me. I like that. What is that, and how did you come up with that title?
Yeah, well, the reason, Tanya, it's a new one on you is because I made it up. You're right. And it started actually, I guess, it's on my first book, The Healing Power of Humor, which came out in 1989, and it's still going strong, 40th printing. But I noticed the other day that it's on the back of the cover that I'm a jollytologist, actually, I call myself. So it's pre-89, I guess. And the way I came up with it is I have a master's degree in human, H-U-M-A-N, development, and my thesis was the healing power of humor or therapeutic humor. And so humor in Greek is gelos, G-E-L-O-S.
Okay.
And study of is ology. So I put those two together and for a while called myself a jello-ologist. But people thought I made dessert. That wiggly
stuff. Perfect for this show.
Yeah. Yeah, it is actually, isn't it? So I thought, well, I'll just change it to a word that people know what it is, and I call myself a jolly-tologist. Now, I could have called myself a jolly-ologist, but I think I maybe at the time was thinking of a proctologist, and I put the T in there, and I have no idea why. But and,
good
you know,
idea.
The interesting thing for me, Tanya, is I belong to the National Speakers Association. And since I came up with that word, jollytologist,
mm-hmm.
the organization now has people that call themselves a joyologist, a happyologist, an enthusiologist.
Imitation is the best form of flattery.
I guess, yeah. And in fact, there was somebody in Canada that was calling himself a same thing, a jollytologist, and I had to get my lawyer and say he needs to stop because that's a registered word now.
Wow.
So they did. Yeah, I guess people liked it. It seemed to, you could use almost any word and put ology at the end and you make it up and it's who you are.
Well, I am a firm believer in speaking, recreating and speaking our names and et cetera, et cetera. So I like the idea of naming yourself a jollytologist. And that one does have a better ring than the other ones. The
jellotologist.
Well, yeah, that one definitely. But the happytologist and the joyologist, jollytologist has a good ring. That
yeah,
works.
I think so. It works. People... You know, also, you said you teach speaking, and I'm a professional speaker. And mm-hmm. one of the things I notice when you make up a word that nobody else has or can use, mm-hmm. people will remember it if it's a word that, speaks to them. And people come up to me, that have been in my audiences, mm-hmm. and say, "You're the jollytologist." They remember that.
Right.
They don't remember my name, but they remember my kind of, and that's why I think about commercials, they have little slogans and people remember that.
Exactly. So you were clever early on in your career and
mm-hmm.
it's still paying off. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
well, you are the author of a number of best-selling books, inspiration, motivational quotation books, including this latest one, The Art of Living Joyfully. What got you started writing those books?
Well, way, way, way back, I said I was a member of the National Speakers Association. I was just starting out, and I went to one of the national meetings, and Og Mandino, the writer of, I think, what is his name of his book? Oh, no. The Best Salesman in the World, or some, The Greatest Salesman in the World. So millions of copies. Probably
okay.
50 different languages. He's no longer with us. But he was giving a lecture, and he held up, he said, he likes to inspire writers. And anyone that had an idea for a book, if they send it to his publisher, if they use the label that he was going to give us, the publisher will look at it within 2 weeks. And normally publishers, it could take months until they get back to you. So I took a label, and I realized I probably had 150 to 200 quote books about happiness, joy, play, cheerfulness, all of that was left over from my first book, The Healing Power of Humor. And I thought that would make a kind of a good book to put all those together. And so I took the label, sent it to his publisher, and indeed they did publish it. And they only sold 5,000 copies in 1 year. And the title of that was Quotations to Cheer You Up When the World is Getting You Down. And they sold 5,000 copies, and then they said, "Alan, that wasn't enough for us to sell in 1 year, so we're not going to print it anymore." Try to get the rights back, could not get the rights back. And then I get a letter from them. It was pre email days, a letter from them saying, congratulations, we sold the book to Random House. And
wow.
Random House, a division of Random House, they took the book and they made this beautiful little hardcover gift book. And it got in all these gift stores, and it did so well, they asked me to write another one and another one. And then I had to see it to write a series of three. And bottom line, I had written 7 quotation books. I'm trying to think of some of the names. The Lift Your Spirit quotation book. The Simplify Your Life quotation book. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sold really well. They sold over 400,000 copies of those books. And then, you know, years ago, big businesses were closing down their offices, and they closed that division of Random House. So again, I asked for the rights back, and this time I got them back. This is a little long story, but it has a great payoff.
Okay.
And, got the rights back. And I try to sell it for 1.5 years. And I believe that if it's this big struggle for you, that maybe things are not supposed to be happening. Maybe that's not right. Maybe you need to go a different path. But listen to what the universe is telling you. So I stopped trying to resell those books, and I put a sign above my computer that I saw every single moment of the day when I was at my desk, that said, the perfect publisher will find me. And about 2 weeks later, I went to a meeting to hear a speaker who was very well versed on social media. It was a book marketing association. And I come in the room and I sit down on the aisle seat, and a man next to me is turned around talking to 2 women. And I hear the women say, we own a very successful, or we're part of a very successful publishing company, and we're starting a new division, and we only want to publish books that are uplifting, joyful, bring people happiness, cheerful. And I turned around and I said, I have 7 books for you to look at. And they gave me their card, and they said, send us the books. And I looked at the card, Tanya. Their offices were 3 blocks from where I live.
Okay.
And so the next day I brought the books over, and they have now, tomorrow will come out this year, published, I think it's like 5 of those 7 books. But there's another part of this story. They got too big for their small offices here next to where I live. So they moved across the bridge. I live in San Francisco. They moved to Berkeley. I got invited to the opening party. A woman comes up to me. She says, you don't know me, but I know you. And I said, how do you know? She says, well, I now own this company, and I live in England, so I'm not here a lot, but I lived across from you for 16 years, and I'd watch you walk your dog every single day. The perfect publisher found me.
Wow.
Amazing.
I just typed that when you told me that, and that is going over my computer as well.
Right.
And on my altar, but places where I can look at it daily and send energy to it. I love it.
And it doesn't only have to be public. You know, you want a relationship? The perfect person will come into my life. You want a new job? The perfect job will come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, you want more joy in your life? Another, you know, it will come to me. Because once we're open, you know, you talk about holistic healing and stuff. Once we're open to that, things appear to us. It's just like a natural law, I think. You know, I'm just talking from my side, but it's happened over and over and over again in my life, and it just proved to me how powerful words are, and that's why I love writing inspirational, motivational quotation books.
That makes perfect sense. You know, I said I've worked with throat chakra energy, so using the power of words to create that which we desire and to, you know, bring and pull from our heart out into the world. So I love that story. I'm feeling very inspired, I have to tell you.
Oh, great. And, you know, I have many stories like that. Just last year, I used to be slightly connected when I worked for CBS Television to the Macy Day Parade. And last year I was watching it on TV, or the year before, I guess, and watching it on TV, and this thought came in my head, I would like to be in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know how to do that. But again, I thought, I'm just going to let it come to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to do a little work. So I just like you've got to write that sign, you know, put it above your desk or in your computer. So I put a little post thing on Facebook that
mm-hmm.
I would like to be in the Macy Day Parade. And a kind of minor colleague of mine in New York City saw it and emailed back and said, I'll find out how you do that. She connected me to the person at Macy's. I got invited to march last November in the parade. But my really goal was to ride on a float. And he said, okay, we don't have any floats left, but if you contact me this May coming up, I'll get you on a float this coming November.
Wow. I love it.
The power of intention is so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is indeed. Wow. Well, we have some callers on, so I'd like to pause at this time to take a caller if you would be open to that.
I'd love it.
All right, we have a caller from the 202 area code with the 494 exchange. Caller, you're live on the air, and this is Mind, Body, and Soul Food, and we have Alan Klein. Would you like to speak with Mr. Klein? You have a question?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I'd like to know how I can get started writing motivational books.
Ah, and your name, please?
Craig.
Hi, Craig. So Craig wants to know how he can get started writing motivation books. I like that.
Well, you've got to sit down and write. You know, I used to belong to a writer's group for 5 years, and this one woman would come every month. We'd meet every month, and she would talk about this book she was going to write on women's breast health. Because that was her area. If she was a nurse, that was. But in 5 years, she never sat down to write anything. So you cannot have just an idea that I want to write. You've got to sit and write. You've got to carve out time. When I'm writing, it's 9 in the morning to noon, a minimum, every single day, even on the weekends. And once in a while, I mean, I've been on the road all week speaking, so that didn't happen this week. But if I'm in my office, I make sure I'm writing. So that's the first thing. You cannot get a – in fact, this is kind of funny. One of the things I have a sign above my desk is that my next book will be a New York Times bestseller list, on the New York Times bestseller list. And then one day – I hadn't been writing for a while – because all this other stuff was happening in my life. And I looked at it in one day, and this light bulb went on, which is kind of stupid because it's so obvious, but it was, how can you have a New York Times best-selling book if you don't write the book? So even I had to, like, remind myself, I got to write the book. So, Chris, that's the first step, is sit there and write it.
Okay.
Are you doing that?
I'm not doing it just yet, but I will commit this month.
Yeah, even if you just write for a half hour every day, you know, even if you just write, if you write one page a day by, you know, sometime this year, you will have a book complete. So it doesn't take a lot. I mean, it seems daunting when you look at a book. God, I'll never be able to write that. That's like too much. But if you do a little bit at a time, it's amazing how it will come out of you and it will flow because you're writing every day. And I find when I'm writing, I get more ideas. So it just nurtures to write even more.
Yes, yes. So, Craig, it sounds like you'll have to get started writing.
Okay, I will. And thank you so very much.
Yeah,
thank you
luck.
For calling. All right, we have another caller. Let's go to that caller in the 240 area code with an 898 exchange. Caller, you're live. You have a question?
Yes, Professor, I have a question.
Okay, and this is?
This is Cornelia Echike.
Hi, Cornelia. What's your question?
Hi, Professor. Yeah, I've listened to Dr. Klein talk, and I like what he talks about, happiness, joy, quotient, love, you know, laughter. And after listening to all what he talks, it's a lot of positive energy. So I was just thinking about the significance of the big red thing on his nose. Is that to enhance some humor, or what is the significance of that?
I like that question, Cornelia. What is the significance of that thing on your nose?
Oh, the thing on my nose. Well,
I'm using that as your promo picture for the website, for the blog talk.
Oh, great, great. Well, that's a red sponge rubber clown nose. And I teach a lot of therapeutic humor workshops. Everybody in my workshop gets one. We do a whole process with it because I believe we need reminders around to lighten up. Because the world, you listen to the news, read the newspaper, the world is kind of, and sometimes pretty serious, and we need reminders to lighten up. And so that little red clown nose, I think if you carry that around, if you start an argument with someone, you put that on, probably the person will stop arguing. Or if you look in the mirror, if you're in traffic jams, put it on and look in the rearview mirror. It like will relieve your stress. It's a way of playing with the things that stress you out. So it's kind of like my symbol to show people that I lighten up or try to lighten up about myself. And by giving it out, I've given out thousands. I buy them at 2,000 at a time. And people have contacted me and said, like, my children don't like getting up in the morning. So I go in their room waking them up with the clown nose. Or another couple said they bought a dozen of them. They put it around the house. So if one starts arguing with the other, they put on the clown nose, and it's like a red light. Okay, we're going to stop this arguing. We love each other. And it's just a way of lightening up the situation and a reminder that you have a choice. You could lighten up or you could become angry.
That makes sense. I love cues that we use. I'm a former counselor, and I do remember talking with different clients about having different cues that can shift your energy and shift the conflict. And that's a great one. I love that clown nose used in those different ways.
Yeah, and that's why I also
write. Are you
here
now?
What?
I was asking Cornelia if she is clear on what that red thing is. It's not a growth.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna use that in my house too, and just do what my professor does with his children, and I think it's gonna work some magic too.
Okay.
In my house. I just love it.
Oh, good, great. That is terrific. Yeah, try it. You know, I was on a plane one day, and we were 3 hours late, or waiting for the plane, 3 hours late. And I got on the plane, and you know how the flight attendant always greets you as you're coming in?
Mm-hmm.
And all these people were so grumpy. You know, you could just see it on their face. 3 hours late, I'm late. And I said to her, I have an extra clown nose. If you feel comfortable, would you put it on when you greet the people? She said yes. And I stood next to her, and I would watch. And some people, you can just see the stress. They just lit up. They smiled and laughed.
Oh,
and all that stress
God.
Of waiting went away. And then other people, you know, they're angry, and you can't take that away from me. And they would get frowning and look away. And,
Oh, that was lovely. That was nice.
Wonderful. Cornelia, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Parker.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, doctor.
Bye. Thanks for calling.
I love you're Dr. Klein now.
But yeah, you know, my mother would be so proud. She wanted me to be a doctor. My father wanted me to be an accordion player. I have no idea why. You know, Lady of Spain, I adore you, you know. But my mother wanted to be a doctor. So whenever anyone calls me a doctor, I absolutely love it.
Well, now that I think about it, your name is very close. Dr. Klein, maybe we should call you Dr. Clown with that note. That's a thought. You know, just an alternative to switch it up now again with Jollytologist.
Right. I like that.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about the book. Can you give us some examples on how the quotations in your books have changed people's lives?
Oh, wow. Sometimes I get letters that are so touching of how a simple quotation, you know, just some words that I didn't even write, you know, it's a collection of other people's words, but somehow this book came to them and they happened to be on this page and it changed their life. I got one letter from a woman. She said that when she was a teenager, she was violently raped twice. And she said, I'll read from the letter. Sure. It's a long page letter, but I'll just read a little bit. She said, first of all, let me say I'm 67 years old, and at age 12 was violently raped twice. I never told anyone about it, but it haunted me for 55 years. It affected me in every aspect of my life. After reading one quote from your book in the phrase, and I'll read you the whole quote in a minute, when we hate our enemies, we give them power over us. She said, I've taken back my power. I put that quote all over my house. I see it every day, and it has changed my life. And the quote, and I have to find it, here it is. It's from Dale Carnegie. And it says, when we hate our enemies, we are giving them power over us, power over our sleep, our appetites, our blood pressure, our health, and our happiness. Our enemies would dance with joy if only they knew how they were worrying us and getting even with us. And this is the line that really gets me. Our hate is not hurting them at all, but our hate is turning our days and nights into a hellish turmoil.
Amen.
So that one quote, you know, after 55 years of anger and hate, changed this person's life.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Did you imagine when you wrote these books that it would have such significant impact?
I never did, and in fact, at one point, because I had a 3-book contract, you know, for more quote books and Random House, by the third book, and each book has like 500-600 quotes in certain order and certain categories, this little thing in my head was going, Alan, why are you writing these books? Why don't you write a real book?
Oh, wow.
Like my first 2 books, The Healing Power of Humor, The Courage to Laugh. Why don't you write a real book? Why don't you write a real book? And I was under contract.
That inner saboteur.
Yeah. And then I start getting these letters, and I realize not only are these real books, but some people that pick up this kind of book might not even want to read a whole book, like my first 2 books, and that this is so appropriate for anyone opening to a page or going through it and finding just the quote that sings to them and actually changes their life. And in fact, I have another story, if you like, from a teenager who said it saved her life. And it's another full-page letter. And the funny thing is she said, this is not a school project. I'm actually writing you this letter.
Okay.
And she said, I'm almost 15 and a high school freshman. She said, my dad passed away when I was 11 and just beginning to win over my personal battle with depression. She says, I remember the birthday when my dad handed me one of your books and how I wasn't too thrilled to see it. But looking back now, I guess he had been the only one who had seen into me and seen how depressed I was and done something about it. Upon opening your book and reading such touching words, I've been struck with an emotion so deep and powerful, I still don't know any words to describe it. And she tells me the quote that saved her life. She said, you saved my life, you really did. And she said, after her dad died, she opened the book, found this quote I'm going to read to you, and she says, I put a picture of my dad marking this page, and I open it and read it every day, and it's like he was speaking to me. And the quote is, I will love the light, for it shows me the way, yet I will endure the darkness, for it shows me the stars.
Mm.
And I got the chills when I read this because the not only helping this teenager, but also the quote was written by Og Mandino. And if you remember way back in this show, I said Og Mandino was the one who helped me get my first quotation book published.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah, I continue to write. these are real books now for me, and I just know how they can help people.
Most definitely. Thank you for sharing those beautiful stories. Wow. You know, I told you before the show started that, you know, as a public speaking professor, I sometimes use quotation books and exercises with my students, and that your book will become one of them that I will make use of because they have some amazing quotes in them.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best way for some people to use your books?
Okay, people use it all kinds of ways. You know, people now put them on the bottom of their emails. They could just open it up. What I like to do is just open it up. Do you have the book there?
I do.
Okay. Close the book. Just open
okay.
it to any page and read the first quote that comes to you. And let's see what that is.
Okay. We have all been placed on this earth to discover our own path. And we will never be happy if we live someone else's idea of life. That's James Van Prague.
So does that speak to you?
Oh, that most definitely speaks to me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was speaking of this today, in fact.
Wow.
How people have commented about my very interesting career path and how it has appeared very hodgepodge. You know,
uh-huh.
hodgepodge, and I have seen the pattern in it, and everything has come together to really help me to be where I am now and to continue to support me as I achieve my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so other people may not see that, but as long as I do, that's what's important.
Exactly. So you know, you just illustrated how you can just open the book. I just opened it to a quote by Oliver Wendell Holmes,
mm-hmm.
and it says, love is the master key which opens the gates of happiness.
Mm.
And, of course, we have Valentine's Day coming up this week, so
yes.
that's certainly an appropriate quote right there.
Most definitely. I like that.
Another woman told me, she wrote me a letter, she said, my daughter is in prison, and she's pregnant, and she's pretty depressed. And she says, I take a quote every other day, put it in an envelope, and send it to her. She says, it lifts me up, and it lifts my daughter up, too.
Mm, that's
so there's
nice.
All kinds of ways to use them, to read it, to give it as a gift, And I just love you read it. Your listeners cannot see the cover, but the book is The Art of Living Joyfully, How to Be Happier Every Day of the Year. And the publisher put this pinwheel on the cover, but it's in the colors of the rainbow.
Yes.
And it's just magnificent.
It is. It's beautiful in its simplicity. I really do like that.
Right.
We have some other callers, and I just want to remind callers, if they want to call in to speak with our guest, Alan Klein, a.k.a. the Jollytologist, and I've called him Dr. Clown. the number is 917-889-7806. Again, it's 917-889-7806. Make sure you follow the prompts to speak with the host so I will know that you would like to speak with Alan Klein. All right. So you've given some good advice to aspiring writers, and, you know, I am a writer as well. I was about to say I am an aspiring writer, but I'm remembering what you're saying about the power of words, and I know this, that I am a writer.
Exactly.
I aspire to write more books. That is what I aspire to do, but I am a writer.
Yes. It's just like I don't sing professionally, but I love singing, and consider myself a singer. And maybe
there
only
you
in
go.
The shower.
Well, you have many talents. You know, I read that you used to be a scenic designer for Captain Kangaroo.
Oh,
I love
yes.
Captain
oh,
Kangaroo
yes.
and Mr. Green Jeans and all of that.
Remember that? Yes, I used to design the captain's house. If Bunny Rabbit was tricking Mr. Green Jeans into giving him some carrots by inventing some machine that spit out carrots, I was the one that designed it. you know, all of that stuff, yes.
I love it. I have to tell you, I mean, it is dating me a bit that I remember Captain Kangaroo, but it's what sticks with me is the song that they sang about brushing your teeth, and I will drive people crazy with that song, brush your teeth round and round. And I'll just go through the whole brush your teeth song. It's interesting what things in your childhood stick with you. So, Captain Kangaroo, I have wonderful memories. So, thank you
great.
For being a part of that.
Yeah, it was a fun time in my life. And you said, you know, like everything kind of comes together in your life, even though some other people may not see it. In my workshops, my humor workshops, and whenever I speak, I'm very playful. And I think a lot of that came from working on Captain Kangaroo. I had to think like a child. You know, if I was going to do this, say, invention, it would have to be as if a child invented it. So I would get a kitchen strainer, or, you know, kids would take things that were all around them and put together something that looked like a machine. So I always had to think that way, and I think it was great training for what I do now.
That makes sense. I love that. And I know at the time when you were designing the scenic designer for Captain Kangaroo, you had no idea that you would be doing what you're doing now and what role that would play in it.
Right. I almost failed speech in college. So I've gotten up.
Speaking students who are listening to this who are not doing as well as you would like. There's hope for you yet.
Yeah, there's all, you know, it's just, and I still get nervous when I speak, and then I think, well, Barbara Streisand didn't perform live for 20 years because she was afraid she'd make a mistake or wouldn't get the note right. I mean, she did albums because she could take another cut and another cut and another cut, but she didn't perform live until a couple of years ago again after 20 years. So if Barbara Streisand could be nervous about performing in public, Alan Klein could be nervous about it. So, you know, one of the things that helped me get over is concentrate on my message rather than on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, concentrate on my material if I'm going to get up to speak rather than on myself or being nervous. And that has always help me. And as soon as I focus on my material, because what is nervousness? It's like you think people are going to judge you. It's like your ego stuff. And just once you get over that, you can get through it.
Yes. Well, what I'd like to do is share one of the quotes that I turn to, and I have to tell you, I love to laugh, if you haven't figured that out already. And there's a quote in here that just tickled my funny bone one day, and I just laughed and I laughed, and and, you know, here I am, I'm reading the section on beauty, you know, and there are these nice, profound words about beauty and all of that. And then I'm reading this quote by Jean Kerr that says, "I'm tired of all the nonsense about beauty being only skin deep. That's deep enough. What do you want, an adorable pancreas?"
I love it.
And that just really tickled my funny bone, not my pancreas, but that tickled my funny bone. It just, you know,
that's why I like to even put together these kind of quotation books, because not only do I find the profound ones that really speak to my soul, but I find the funny ones that help me to laugh, too, like the one you just read.
Yes, and that's so important. So mixing in that quote with, you know, one of my favorites, Rumi, "Let the beauty you love be what you do. There are 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the earth." And another one from Timothy Ray Miller, "When your inner eyes open, you can find immense beauty hidden within the inconsequential details of daily life. Mm. When your inner ears open, you can hear the subtle, lovely music of the universe everywhere you go."
Wow.
So those were so lovely and heartwarming, and in the midst of that,
right,
I have
right.
the adorable pancreas.
Right. Well, you know, and I just got back this week from Oklahoma, and I did 4 programs, but 2 of them were for hospice. And these are people that work with people that were dying and families that are grieving. And I must tell you, Tanya, these are my favorite audiences, because they know how to laugh, because they know how to cry, because tears and laughter are so close.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like what you're saying, there's laughter, but there's also the serious, and that's life, you know? And I think because we think the world is so serious these days, we need to look for some of that lighter stuff to help us balance.
Most definitely. Yeah, it takes a special type of person to be able to work with the hospice population. So my kudos go out to you for not just working with the population and speaking with them, but enjoying the process, because I know it cannot be easy.
Right. Yeah, I used to be a hospice volunteer. Maybe I should tell your listeners and you how I came to do the work of therapeutic humor.
That would be great.
It started about 30 years ago. My wife, Ellen, just went to the doctor for a physical checkup. They did some tests. And she came back from the doctor, and he called a couple of days later. Bottom line, he said, "We need to put you in the hospital and do some more tests." And they found she had a rare liver disease, and she passed away 3 years later at the age of 34.
Wow.
And needless to say, it was a very difficult time. But Ellen had a great sense of humor, and I noticed how she continued some of that. Yes, there were lots of tears, but also the humor, and it helped us rise above the situation and gave us a little reprieve and gave us a different perspective, even just for 10, 15 seconds. So one very funny thing happened in the hospital. She had a copy of Playgirl magazine with the male nude centerfold. And she said, "Alan, hey, I really like this hunky man this month. Can you put on the wall by the bed over there?" And I said, "Ellen, this is a hospital. It's a little risque for that." And she said, "Well, maybe you're right." She said, "Why don't you get a leaf from the plant and cover up that part?" And I did that, and things are fine for the first day, fine for the second day, but the third day, the leaves start shriveling up, and you get the picture.
Right, right.
And so looking back, I realize how wonderful, you know, even if it was a small segment, because we kept, all I'd have to do is point to a leaf or a plant and we would start to laugh. But I realized
right.
how it really was so helpful among all the tears to keep us slightly in balance during that difficult time. And so that's when I gave up a business I had in San Francisco, went back to school, learned all about the therapeutic value of humor. Norman Cousins was talking about how it healed him. And went back to school, got that master's degree, and that turned into my first book, The Healing Power of Humor, and then subsequently into all of these uplifting, motivational, joyous quotation books.
Wonderful. Well, I would like to invite our callers to speak with Alan Klein. The number is 917-889-7806. And remember to follow the prompts to listen to the host. We have several people that are in the queue, Alan, and they just don't have the little signal there to let me know they want to speak, so I don't want to put them on blast, as you say, unless they truly want to speak. But in the meantime, thank you so much for sharing that story about your wife and, you know, what beautiful memories to have.
Right.
Even in the midst of that sadness. I'm getting such a visual with the leaf. I was about to call it the fig leaf.
It wasn't a fig, but it's pretty good, pretty close, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And, you know, the other thing for me is because I truly believe we're guided, you know, in our life. And if we just listen to that, you know, thing, you know, like at the time, a 10-year-old daughter and going, why is this happening to me? This isn't what I signed up for. All of those kind of things. And then looking back to see, you know, I now have 18 books published, how her dying led into helping people's lives all over the world through my work and through my books.
Wow.
So we don't know when, you know, you lose your job, you dent the car, you know, your kid breaks their arm, whatever it is, we don't know why those things happen to us, is my
right.
belief.
But right.
Because we can't see down the road.
Right.
And then, but looking back, you go, well, look what's come out of this. Look. It's like I told you I was a scenic designer for Captain Kangaroo. I went to Yale Drama School to learn about being a designer, and I was kicked out after the first year. And it was a 3-year master's. And at the end of the third year, I was designing national TV at CBS Television. My fellow classmates were still in school doing college productions.
Love it.
I couldn't see 3 years down the road what was going to happen. And so I truly believe that whatever happens to us, you know, I don't know if you believe in God or spirit or whatever that is, but you're on the perfect path and just trust that.
I believe that. I truly believe that as well. Well, Alan, we have a couple of callers, so let's take another caller in the 202 area code with the 805 exchange. Caller, you're live on the air. What's your name? And you have a question for Alan Klein?
Yes. Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
My question was just when did you come to realize what a paradox that the emotional happiness what a paradox it was, like in Russia, like in the aspects of life, like life and death and like sadness and happiness. Like when I was young, people used to always say that the same thing that can make you laugh can make you cry. And I wanted to know, like, when did you come to realize that? And also,
right.
did you have any religious influence?
Okay. So when did I realize that there's the joy, happiness, and then there's also the tears and sadness? and I guess it was after my wife died, because I saw how difficult it was. You know, for 3 years she had this terminal illness, but then I also saw how we laughed a lot together. And I read one thing. Gibran talks about how the well of tears is the same well where the laughter comes from. And so, and I became a hospice volunteer after my wife died, and I had a number of patients that were dying. And I would often see how there was absurd things would happen, and we would laugh. And, you know, even at funerals, people look at the body in a coffin and go, oh, they never look so good.
Right.
And I realized that in death and dying and serious illness situations, absurd, ludicrous things happen. And then if you look at how comedians create humor,
Definitely. They'll
also create the ludicrousness or the absurd things, and they see that situation. And so, for me, it started to develop, like, how close all that was.
Right.
And so I just started putting that together. And the other thing about my religious, I'm Jewish, and we never had a very religious household. So for years, I've been searching for a spiritual path, and it finally came to me a number of years ago, a Unity. I like their teachings of one God, many paths.
Okay.
And so I just came today from Unity, and I'm on the board, and I just like their all-inclusiveness, that there's not one right religion, and they also, I love their belief in abundance and prosperity. So that really fit for my belief. Pardon me?
I'll have to research that.
Yeah, it's called Unity. There's churches all over the country.
And there are some in the Washington, D.C. area.
Pardon me?
I was saying there are some in the Washington, D.C. area
right,
for our caller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's as I get older, I don't know, maybe I'm wiser, maybe I lighten up more. But I think as you get older, you realize certain things and that you don't realize when you're younger for some reason. And so now I just try to teach that to other people. Hopefully they'll get it at a younger age than when I got it.
Great. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you for calling in.
And we will take one more call. And this one is also from the 202 area code. With the 270 exchange. Hi, caller. Please tell us your name and you have a question for Alan.
Hi, my name is Stacy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Alan, I just wanted to say I'm appreciating the quotes and I get a lot out of the motivational quotes. I was wondering if you have any favorite sources or go-tos that where do you find these things? Do you have any favorite sources you go to?
Yeah.
Or just everywhere.
Well, I'm looking at my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shelves of quotation books in my library, in my office. So I'm always looking for quotation books. But because when I first started writing these, there was no internet. Now, you know, when I'm writing a book, like one is coming out for Mother's Day, so I would just go on the internet and I'll put in mother and love or mother and baby or, you know, mother and food or, you know, whatever quotes I'm looking for. And
sure.
The internet is just an incredible, you know, there's all kinds of sites that have quotes. As an author, the hard part for me is when I find a quotation that I really love and want to put in a book, and it's attributed to 3 different people.
Ooh.
Yeah, so then I've got to go research that, and librarians look that up for me, and we try to come up with who actually said it or wrote it. But it's so easy today with the internet to just find whatever you're looking for as far as quotes go.
All right.
Well, sure. But thank you very much.
Thank you. And one other thing, just to follow up on that question, whenever I see a quote in a magazine or a newspaper, I always cut it out and I file it away. So if I want to address that subject, you know, I go to that file.
I like
wonderful.
That idea.
Wonderful. Thank you, Stacey.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So I heard you say you have a book coming out for Mother's Day. Is that what's next on your publishing agenda?
That is. It's already on Amazon. It's called Mom's the Word.
I like that.
It has a subtitle, but I can't remember. I haven't seen a copy yet. It's not in stores, but Mom's the Word. And there's one that just came out for Valentine's Day. It is in the store. It's called Words of Love, Quotations from the Heart. And again, this publisher does, not only did the perfect publisher, but they do incredible covers. Words of Love has a big white cloud in the sky, and the cloud is in the shape of a heart.
Nice. So your books, folks can find them on Amazon, and what are some other ways in which people can find and buy your books?
Well, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the quote books are also in Kindle and Nook, and a number of other sites, or go to my website if they want to see all my books, and my website is www, and then my name, all one word, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Klein, K-L-E-I-N.com, AllenKlein.com.
That's easy enough to remember.
If it's spelt right.
True.
Right. A-L-L-E-N-K-L-E-I-N.
Always come to the Blog Talk site and see you listed there.
Right.
And,
your site, yeah.
And that will help trigger for them.
Great.
Wow, I can't believe we've been yapping away for just about an hour now.
Wow, don't tell me it's over.
It's almost over, it is,
oh.
It is.
Oh, dear, I'm having a great time.
I'm glad, I am too. You've given me lots of giggles today and just really stirred my heart, and you have inspired me. I have some work to do when I get off the phone because I do believe in affirmations and sending energy to them and attending to them daily, et cetera, et cetera. So I've been taking notes, multitasking to the nth degree, that's me. Thank you so much for
joining us this evening
and, you know, providing such amazing food for thought as we keep moving forward into 2013.
Great. Well, thank you. And I need to go back to the kitchen and stir up some more joy.
Okay, that sounds great. You take care.
You too. Thank you.
All right. So I would like to invite the listeners to tune in again next month on the second Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for more mind, body, and soul food. Next month, we're going to tap into the newness energy of spring on Daylight Savings Time Sunday to learn how to create internal and external peace from a certified Usui Reiki master, advanced practitioner of interior alignment, and medicine wheel feng shui gateway dreaming coach and soul coach rolled up into one person. So our guest is Felicia Messina DeHaiti of Soul Transformations, and she's also the contributing author in the recently released book Soul Whispers 3, Soul Wisdom for Living the Life of Your Dreams. I'd like to invite you to visit my website, mindbodyandspiritworks.com, or contact me, Tanya, at mindbodyandspiritworks.com for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services, including my upcoming classes and events. Have a lot of good stuff going on. You'll also find out information about my meditation CD, Meditative Morsels, Prayers and Meditations for Feeding Your Mind, Body, and Soul, also available on iTunes and Amazon. You can check out my video blog. Look for Throat Chakra Shaman on YouTube. And check me out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And so This evening, our amazing guest has given us much to chew on. And for leftovers, I'd like to leave you with some mind, body, and soul food to go from Samuel Butler, found in Alan Klein's book, The Art of Living Joyfully. Man, unlike the animal, has never learned that the sole purpose of life is to enjoy it. Peace.